Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer,
who has been very quietly listening in the background to your svelte tones. Is that how the cool people say it? I'm Googling this right now. Svelte tones.
Svelte? You know, I've never heard of that word before, so.
I think it's a thing. Svelte.
Is it the new lit?
Well, I don't know. I'm ahead of the, there's cool people, and then there's Ed Stetzer, who's ahead of the cool people. So yeah. It may not have caught on yet, but I am that cool.
That's awesome.
That's what my kids tell me. So svelte, awesome. Here, look it up. Svelte is, yep, it's what it means. It says svelte. I just use it naturally. Oh, actually, it means slender or graceful in figure or outline. So that wasn't what I was going for.
I've never had my voice explained as slender and
so
thin.
The adjectival use is urbane or sophisticated, which is the use that I was going for. Your svelte tones, your urbane and sophisticated voice. So I think I got myself out of that one, because when I saw the definition, suddenly that escalated too quickly.
And what website are you looking the definition up?
What was that? Freedictionary.com.
Okay,
what else is there?
So it's not like Urban Dictionary.
No, I should. Oh, well, I don't. As a Christian, I don't go to there.
Okay,
still right. I neither confirm nor deny. But if hypothetically, if I did go there, it would be, yeah, maybe not the best word for me to use for you. Okay, so
there we go.
We're going to move on. We won't edit that out just so you can see the awesomeness. But anyway.
Yeah, and that will not be in the show notes, a link to that site. But
that's true. Thank
you. Today we have a great question from Byron. So let's listen in.
Hey guys, Byron here. And I have a question for post-launch, or something that comes up for a pastor right after the grand opening. A lot of pastors, they work tirelessly and very hard, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears put in to the launch or the grand opening of a new church. So my question is, what would you recommend best for a pastor and his spouse and family after the big day? How do we retreat or rest up or get recharged after we spend a lot of energy, time, money, and many, many months of planning and preparation? What do we do personally or spiritually to refuel or recharge after the big day? Thank you so much for all of your advice. Thank you for your serving. And I look forward to listening along with my wife and our team to any advice you guys have. Thank you.
All right. So after the launch, I think you should probably rest before you start planting.
Yeah, exactly. That is not, I'm kind of like when I say to him, oh, that question, you're not going to like the answer to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, oops. Well, you know, I guess you could say, you know, I'm going to Disney World, you know, just kind of announce that. But the reality is that I would say the first 3 months maintain the frenetic pace of the last 3 months. I mean, I think it's a 6 month, you know, builds up to it. And because, I mean, you know, all of a sudden you have, well, if you use the word launch, let's assume that he's doing a large launch, whatever that means. You know, it's different in Vermont than it is, you know, in Texas. But let's say that he's done a large launch and he's had 100 people there or 200 people or whatever. We have to then say, okay, what are we going to do with these people? So, yeah, and it, that means follows up with those people.
Yeah, that week after launch is the most important week, right? I mean, in a sense, as you're ready to or getting ready to plant a campus or a church, every week is important because you need to get there and get to launch. But that following week is one of the most important ones because you need to follow up with the newcomers. And it's important that you're not just the only one following up with the newcomers, but that you have your launch team helping out with that. You need to, even in the visioning and before that launch week, you need to be really rallying up your team to say, hey guys, the finish line is not this Sunday when we launch. That is not the finish line. This is the vision that God has called us to. Here is the greater why. We're not here just to play church. We're not here just to start a service. No, we're here to reach the lost. We're here to go and make disciples of all nations. We're here, you know, Jesus has sent us out here. So we're going to have a great Sunday. We're going to have a great weekend, and we're going to be all hands on deck this next week so that every brand new person, every person who is not a launch team member, what does it look like for us to all have one touch point with them? Yes, let's email them at least, but are each of us going to call them up or meet someone for coffee, or, you know, especially those who are looking for a church, or those who have been connected and it's our friends that we have invited? What plan do we all have, not just the pastor, but what plan and what are we all going to do to get into that?
Yeah, I think that's kind of how, and I think there is a season when things slow down, and I would say that it might be maybe a month later there are less, because keep in mind that all the people who didn't come to your launch service, they might consider coming here next week. So we actually find that a launch service has a long tail to it that maybe lasts a month when people are still showing up and connecting. Mm-hmm. So what I would say, how I kind of set up. I would like prepare my sermons ahead of time. Like I would have prepared my sermons. And I know it's too late to say this now, and I apologize. But I would have planned my sermons, you know, 4 months before the launch. You know, so I'm doing all these things. So when I get into the launch, I can run.
You prepared your sermons like 4 months worth of sermons?
I did. No, 4 months before the launch. I had the first series. I think it was a 7-week series. And I had those done before the most busy time of before the launch, and then the follow-up after the launch. So I've had those ready. And so then I can run it. Basically, what I'm running at is reaching and retaining people.
That's great. Now, in terms of engaging your launch team, what do you think is realistic to have them, especially that week after launch, you know, what you could expect of them?
I think we got to tell them that this is not, I mean, I think sometimes what they feel is like, okay, we've now got to the end of the finish line. We've launched a service. What I say to them is launching a service is definitely a hurdle if you're running a relay race. But it is not the final hurdle. It is one that it's a great opportunity, and you can actually recast a fresh vision, from there. So we got new people. Let's follow them up. That's what I'd say.
Okay. Now back to Byron's question about time with his family and his spouse and to recharge. That honestly, it really comes down to, when are you going to take your Sabbath? When are you going to practice Sabbath? Is it on a Monday? Is it on the Friday? What does that look like for you as a family? And I would say, even though that first week after launch is incredibly important and you need to follow up, Sabbath is as important, and you can't just keep on going every single day. So that's something important that you need to honor between you and the Lord, and something that you can trust in the Lord for, even though there's so much stuff that needs to get done to be able to do that. In terms of maybe like vacation or taking a week off or this or that, I agree with Ed. You do need to plan that. You need to do that beforehand, or you need to plan months later to do that.
Yeah, but I think it is all doable. Let's say now that he is in the situation. I would just say, hey, we can do this for a few more weeks. I would definitely take a day off. I mean, nothing wrong with that. Matter of fact, you know, taking the day off after the launch, taking the Monday after is a great idea, because it's, you know, have some people other than you, maybe make some calls and follow up some volunteers Sunday night if you had Sunday morning service, make some calls, send some letters out. You take Monday off and then hit it again on Tuesday and work hard to make this follow up work.
Yeah. Now I'm curious, Ed, are you more of a proponent of Monday Sabbath or like a Friday Sabbath?
For pastors. What did I typically do? You know, I'm kind of not. I know the whole Monday thing, because it's the day after and you're grumpy and tired and people think that's a bad day. I still did the Monday thing.
Okay.
So I think probably I'd say, like, it just seems natural that it's the end of a work week, because Sunday's the end of the work week. And typically you got things to do on Saturday. So, I would say Monday. Do you have a preference when you're pastoring?
It had always been Monday, but there are more and more pastors and others that I've heard that take Friday off instead. And in either case, as the you know, as your kids get older, it's part of it is you do want to have family time, but you do want to have that time between you and the Lord and to recharge and to Sabbath in that way. Now, the thing about Monday, recently I heard someone say that Monday is not a good Sabbath because Monday is usually when you don't have a lot of energy and you don't have, you know, you're just tired from the weekend. So why give that to your family? Why not give them Friday, the time where maybe it's everyone's looking forward to the weekend and everyone has a little bit more energy, and why not give that to your family instead of the Monday when you're all tired? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I don't agree, probably because I don't see myself collapsing on Monday.
Yeah.
You know, so I guess maybe, now to be fair, I mean, you and I, we've been friends for a while. I don't have a normal capacity. I think most people know me would say that. So I tend to rest and ready to go the next thing. Yeah, so anyway, but so I think that's probably the difference. So I would say if you find yourself on Monday emotionally drained and exhausted, which I don't, and maybe you did, I didn't when I was a pastor, then I get it, don't take that day off. But on the other hand, isn't that sort of what your day off is, help you to recover from being emotionally drained and exhausted? Does it really take you, you know, all day, 24 hours to get that? Or do you need to, you know, rest? Do you need to, you know, to sleep in that morning? You have Sunday evening, you might be still. So I guess people need to be aware of their own pace and pattern of life.
Completely.
So, you know, different for everybody. So whoever said that, wasn't it on the podcast somebody said that? Or were you just repeating it on the podcast? I don't remember. So I would just ask that. I would ask, how is it for me? Almost all church planners I know are hard workers. So, you know, it's not like sometimes I'm going to say, hey, you got to work on your work ethics, your worth ethic. But I would say, I just want to see that there's a comfort level with the day you take off.
Yeah, and even then, right? I mean, what are you doing all week that you need a full day where you're going to collapse, or you're like, oh, I can't handle any other, and your emotional tanks are low? I mean, maybe there's not enough moments of rest, or you're not filling your week with things that fill you. I'm not saying don't work hard. I mean, both of us work incredibly hard at that, and church planters especially know what that's like. But it's maybe even re-examining your daily pace as well, so that you're not running off 4 to 5 hours of sleep for weeks on end, because that's not going to be
exactly. I mean, that's not sustainable.
Yeah. Exactly.
And and I think ultimately, I think one of the bigger challenges of church planners is just get them to rest, just get them to Sabbath. And it's been, Daniel, I mean, you and I have known each other a long time. I mean, that's still a struggle in my life. You should not hear me talking about these things and thinking that it's Stetzer has got a good rest work balance in his life. I still, this is an area of struggle for me. Now, I know you, man, I can't even get you up some days. You're sleeping until noon every day.
But, well, that's totally me.
Yeah.
You know me so well, Ed.
Exactly.
Well, thanks again, Byron, for leaving that question. And as y'all know, the New Churches podcast is a part of the Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. So the Group Answers podcast is a part of our family. Chris Surratt, Brian Daniel lead that. It's fun. We had them on the 5LQ podcast. And Chris was, you know, we were joking about the Surratt Mafia, and Chris was like, oh, that's totally Ed. Ed has branded our family as the Surratt Mafia.
It is true. It is true. Yes, and let's be honest, you know to whom they are, from whom they are descended, do you not?
Yes.
Mary Surratt, who may or may not have been involved in the assassination to assassinate the President Lincoln. And yeah, so I'm just saying. So if you're related to Mary Surratt and then your names show up, you know, I was at Saddleback in December and who was Jeff was on staff there for a season. And then I'm in Nashville and like at, I don't even remember, he's at Lifeway now, but wasn't he at the church he was at?
Crosspoint.
I mean, so they are, and literally I just got a text, like I'm going to just say this right now. I'm literally reading a text right now from a publisher that tracked down and got my cell phone, which I hate it when people find my cell phone. And it says, it's Steve Blunt. I'm going to say his name right here. Steve Blunt, I hope you're doing well. I believe Greg Surratt reached out to you last week about his forthcoming book published by ARC Resources, The Mafia. They actually write this. See, here's what we'd like you to say about him. And then it ends with, if you don't do this, we'll kill you. So don't. So Blunt literally writes out, and they're awesome, by the way. Okay. They're actually friends. These are not bad. They will get word of this podcast and they will listen to it. And they work with Influence and now they're working with ARC. But anyway, so he writes out, we may use the excerpt on the cover in addition to a longer version as an endorsement. Your thoughts? Here it is. I've written it for you. The Surratts will kill you if you don't send this back in. So I just want to say to the mafia dons that are in the Surratt family, that listen, I'm a made man. You can't mess with me. I'm a made man. And if you know anything about mafia, you know what that means.
And that is the reason that you need to listen to that podcast.
That is right there. If anything. That is exactly it. That is it. And you know, they're not the only ones. The Blackabees, they're like the mafia of evangelicalism in Canada. So everywhere you go, there's like a Blackabee. So I'm just saying, there's no M mafia. There's no Stetzer mafia, but Surratts, who else would have like a family dynasty? I'm trying to think.
Surratts and Blackabees are probably the two largest ones.
I think it's true.
One's on the charismatic end and one's on the more the conservative end, right?
Well, I don't know. I think Henry Blackabee, a lot of people say, is pretty charismatic-y. Here's what I want you to do. When we put out this podcast, I want you to put out a tweet, and I'll retweet it. Ed Stetzer explains how the Surratt family and the Blackabee family are mafia dons of evangelicalism.
All right. Well, thanks again for listening in, and we'll catch you guys next time.